A sure sign of the approaching season of Advent is the apocalyptic end of the world readings that we now have in play. Very cheery, don't you find? Unlike some parts of our culture which enjoy focusing on the possibility of the zombie apocalypse, the church focuses on prophecies of new heavens and a new earth. Apocalyptic readings are particularly popular when things are going badly, when natural disasters rage, when people's rights are violated, when death and destruction of all kinds are happening all around us. And at first glance, passages such as the one we read from Isaiah this morning look like they're laying out a utopia of sorts. A utopia that we can never possibly achieve. Much like the reading of 1 Corinthians at almost every wedding. Well, all the things that love is, and all the things that we will probably never all realize all at once. No matter how often we're blessed, and no matter how hard we try. But the vision of a new heavens and a new earth does not imply utter destruction of the present world and creation of a whole new one. That's not what they're meant to do. Rather, they're about building upon the original creation that God made and said, "It is good." When things get rough in the world around us, or closer to home, around and within us, we tend to focus on human capacity, or the lack thereof. You know what I mean. Well, I can't possibly do it. I'm a terrible person. I don't have the energy or the ability. When things are hard, we close in and blame ourselves and think about us and the people around us and how it's not going well. We are inward. We are entranced and enthralled by our lack of an ability to make a difference. But this morning, in the midst of all those readings, we are encouraged by Isaiah to lift our eyes, to lift our hearts, to contemplate the capacity of God who is creating. God has the capacity to create, and to create on an unimaginable scale, new heavens and a new earth. In other words, there is nothing in all of creation or in all that we imagine beyond creation that is beyond the capacity of God to change. For people mired in regret or loss or sin, or for people ground down by oppression and the pain of living, what an amazing message of good news. Because nothing is final. Everything is up for grabs in the mystery of the creative capacity of God. At the very heart of the Judeo-Christian faith is the Creator, who emerges even in the bleakest hour of human history to create anew. Something new and amazing is on the horizon, and every one of us is part of it, because we are created in God's image, and we are meant to live that out. God's not a fixer-upper, but God injects something novel and new through us, and sometimes in spite of us, into the cultural, political, and economic facts of our lives and our nation. When Isaiah is writing this passage, there have been hard times, political upheavals, collapse, economic uncertainty, and even starvation. Many in those days had given up hope for a positive future for their nation, and certainly for themselves. Indeed, the nation may already have completely collapsed. The upper classes were sent to Babylon. But still there's hope. Hope not from just human effort, but from the persuasive power of God's vision of the future. God is creating new possibilities and the energy to achieve them, even in dire situations. It's no wonder that the words from Isaiah this morning are remembered and beloved by individuals and communities of faith in all seasons of the human journey. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. So we can dream, in the midst of our struggles, of a better and a more just world. Perhaps Isaiah's Jerusalem can be compared to some of the places in our world right now, where people are decimated, impoverished, war-torn, or countries that are pawns in proxy wars among superpowers. But there's still a glimmer in every one of those situations for justice, peace, and restoration of new life. And not only will there be a new creation, but the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Now, the wisdom of forgetting even the most painful episodes of life is a bit puzzling. You all know the saying, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. And I've heard that said a number of times given the political situation in lands very close to us recently. So why would God offer to erase memories that may in fact save us from repeating terrible mistakes? As a priest, sometimes when troubled people pour out their heart and soul to me, the pain, the angst, the despair, the sin, the guilt and the remorse, sometimes it's done in great detail, great gory detail. And one must hold that. Now, when I was newly ordained, I thought I was supposed to keep track of it all and remember it, so the next time I saw Joe or Sally, I would remember all of that about them and be able to be with them in that moment. I tried that for a very short period of time, and it almost killed me. People also don't like you remembering all of those gory details. I remember a woman came up to me once and said, "Oh, hello." And I said, "Oh, good morning, Sally." And she said, "How are you?" And I said, "Is there a problem?" And she said, "Oh, last time I saw you, I told you about..." I said, "It's okay. I don't remember the details." Because I found that holding it was really just too much. Too much pain. It overwhelms. And so I had to learn to let it go and instead be a conduit of offering it to God. And then something new could be created in the relationship and through the act of listening, through the act of letting it go. So as I increasingly practiced this, I was left instead, and still am to this day, with an impression of each person whose pain I've heard. A vague but unique sense of the things that have hurt and shaped and formed and loved someone. And more importantly, the beauty of who each person becomes because of what they experience. Some forgetfulness is indeed a gift from God, and I think it's called holy amnesia. So Isaiah is offering us that gift today. Perhaps some memories, or the absolute pain of some memories, are best lost, are best forgotten, so we can begin anew. Just think, if we remembered every detail of how we've been hurt in love, we would never enjoy a new relationship, let alone make a commitment of marriage or any other kind of commitment to another human being. If after having a child, we remembered in pain the detail, the pain of the birth, the sleepless nights, the worry, I can see it on your face, Nicola. We would never have more children. If we could remember fully the pain of every injury we ever had, from the time when we were two and we touched the hot element, to the time when we tripped on the way to church. If we could remember that, especially if we suffered it when we were doing something we loved, like skiing or biking or any of those things, we'd never do any of those activities again. Thankfully, holy amnesia is present in our lives regularly. And God creates in us and through us new relationships, new challenges, and new experiences, new ways of being. So most of us, slogging through complicated and often difficult days, find it impossible to move beyond an understanding of the world as a survival of the fittest kind of place. Because that's what we see and what we fear we will be up against. But Isaiah tells us this morning that there's a world of tenderness and plenty on God's peaceable mountain, a mysterious, evocative reality fully within God's capacity to create a new heavens and a new earth. The hoped-for transformation invites us to be agents of that for which we hope. We need to claim the future by our lives and become citizens of a new future. And Isaiah gives us our marching orders on how to do that. God is at work in the world, and God needs our creative companionship. And we need to remember that God is there beside us and not be seduced by limited visions of nationalism, ethnocentrism, economic security, or any of those other isms. We need to dream and act towards the world that God imagines. A world almost impossible to visualize, but our only hope for the future. Long life, security, happy times, fruitful vineyards and gardens, laughing children, and peace among opponents, as Isaiah tells us. But more importantly, we need to work and act and dream of a time when people's hearts return to God. When our hearts return to God, enabling God to speak and listen through us. So we can be God's companions in healing the earth and creating a new vision for those who come after us. So may you be blessed in your holy amnesia. May you be blessed in your creating and your creativity. And may you indeed experience in your life the new heaven and the new earth.